Our scripture lesson this morning is not quite the one that's printed there. It starts with verse 35 in the Gospel of John, and then I'm going to jump down to number 41 and read a section a little bit later. So you'll start on 868 in the Pew Bible if you'd like to follow along. This chapter in the Gospel of John is a whole long time of Jesus talking and using the image of bread and feeding. Last week we had the feeding of the 5,000 with the loaves and the fishes, and then he talks more about it in what we're reading today, and then actually in 2 weeks we're going to read even more of this chapter so we can hear the fullness of what Jesus is saying with this image. So John chapter 6, beginning at verse 35. Jesus said to them, "I am the bread of life. Whoever comes to me will never be hungry, and whoever believes in me will never be thirsty." Then the Jews began to complain about him because he said, "I am the bread that came down from heaven." They were saying, "Is not this Jesus, the son of Joseph, whose father and mother we know? How can he now say, 'I have come down from heaven'?" Jesus answered them, "Do not complain among yourselves. No one can come to me unless drawn by the Father who sent me, and I will raise that person up on the last day. It is written in the prophets, 'And they shall all be taught by God.' Everyone who has heard and learned from the Father comes to me. Not that anyone has seen the Father except the one who is from God. He has seen the Father. Very truly, I tell you, whoever believes has eternal life. I am the bread of life. Your ancestors ate the manna in the wilderness, and they died. This is the bread that comes down from heaven, so that one may eat of it and not die. I am the living bread that came down from heaven. Whoever eats of this bread will live forever, and the bread that I will give for the life of the world is my flesh." Word of the Lord. Thanks be to God. Let us pray. O God, may your holy word and the hunger of our hearts meet and lead us ever more deeply into your heart. Amen. Well, these are anxious days and weeks for a lot of young people. In particular, I'm thinking of kids who are heading back to school, and especially those who are venturing into a new school. There are so many unknowns and things to worry about, along with the joy and enthusiasm of a fresh start in a new place. I was in a store recently and happened to overhear some older teenagers talking, and I realized they were college freshmen shopping with their parents for the stuff they would need for their dorm rooms, preparing for their new life away from home. And as I watched them, I imagined that mixture of hope and sadness, of dreams and joy, of fear and dread even, that go along with this important time in a young person's life. And the same goes for their parents, who are also sending them off with good wishes as well as enough supplies to get them started. I remember well receiving those care packages. I went to college about a 5 or 6 hour drive from our house. And I remember getting those packages and my friends getting them and looking forward to them, filled with special treats and gifts and cards, and especially what? Money. Cookies. Did you remember receiving like home-baked cookies in those? Oh my gosh. And then deciding how much to share, how much to keep. All of these, though, were reminders of the love that was coming from my home and my parents. Similarly, when the Israelites received their manna in the wilderness, it was a symbol that God was with them. It was almost like a care package from heaven. They had left home, they had left Egypt, and were not yet in this new and promised land. And every day they walked out into the desert to collect this bread from heaven. And every day it sustained them. It was their care package, their reminder from God that He will provide and sustain them every single day. Of course, we no longer eat manna like that. And Jesus now tells us that He is the new manna, the bread sent from heaven to give life. And He says, if we eat this bread, we will experience eternal life. Whoa, now it sounds like a riddle. This doesn't seem to make much sense. And I imagined it puzzled and confused those who were hearing it from Him back then as much as it sounds odd to us today. After all, this was just Joseph and Mary's son, right? A carpenter who had become a peasant. And though he was obviously wise, how could he be better than manna? How could he be better than Moses? Who does he think he is, claiming to be bread from heaven? And what does it mean to live eternally with God? Well, this way of talking was common for Jesus. He was always contrasting things that are imperishable, eternal life, things like that, with things that do perish, bread and flesh. And it makes me think about the distinctions I try to make in my own life and work between things that are important and things that are simply urgent. Like, for example, urgent things would be meeting agendas or household chores or administrative tasks or trying to get my desk cleared at the end of the day. And things like that often can edge out the things that are really important, like personal calls and visits, like real conversation with family and friends rather than just quick texts and emails along the way, or praying without feeling rushed and getting my mind wandering ahead. When I take the time and the effort to do those things that are important, I find that they are real gifts to me. I receive something that is long-lasting and truly meaningful from my interactions with others and with God then. And this feeds my spirit and provides in a way that does point me towards what is eternal and long-lasting. Jesus always desired that people would grow into their belief and into the meanings of His teachings. He wanted those who hung out with Him, including us, to stop looking for miracles just in the form of manna and to start looking for miracles of the Spirit and of faith. And so we are reminded that Jesus was indeed the bread from heaven which has come down. The bread and fish multiplied for that crowd. Again, reminders of this manna in the wilderness that God will sustain and God will provide for His people. So what about us? We don't get manna. We don't get bread and fish like the disciples did in that way. We don't even have Jesus still physically among us, right? He's not here anymore. But we do still have gifts from heaven. Sometimes they are not tangible, like a sense of peace that descends for no reason at all during a particular trying time. Or maybe God's presence feels super close for a moment or a day or a season. But you know, other times there are really tangible reminders of the rich eternal life that we share with Jesus right now. When we can see or touch something that shows us that God has indeed come to be with us, like maybe a Bible passage brings great joy or meaning when it's something that you have read and heard and known for years, but all of a sudden it strikes you as new and gives you just the word you need. Or maybe a friend stops by out of the blue and it's just what you need in that moment. Or maybe simply a stranger says a kind word in passing and it lifts you up. Or maybe a song comes on the radio or Pandora or Spotify, however we listen to music. Maybe this song comes and wow, it's just the song we need. When Dietrich Bonhoeffer was sitting in a Nazi prison, far from his home and his family, awaiting his eventual execution, he wrote of a particular gift, a care package from home. And this is what he wrote. He says, "It is Monday, and I was just sitting down to a dinner of turnips and potatoes when the parcel you sent me by Ruth as a present on Sunday arrived. Such things give me greater joy than I can say, although I am utterly convinced that nothing can break the bonds between us. I seem to need some outward token or sign to reassure me. And in this way, material things become vehicles of spiritual realities. I suppose it's rather like the need felt in all religions for sacraments." Though Bonhoeffer didn't mention what the parcel contained, we don't know what they sent him, he does tell us, more importantly, what it meant to him. I imagine him sitting in his prison cell, looking at and touching whatever it was over and over again, thinking of home and this tangible reminder of the love there. Isn't that why we hang on to that old faded doily from Great Aunt Mabel or the chipped teacup we bought in that antique shop on vacation 25 years ago? Concrete reminders of our lives lived in real places with real people at our side. That's why the sacrament of the Lord's Supper is as important as it is and what it does for us in the church. It is perhaps the most visible and tangible gift of all. In a small cup of juice or wine and a tiny little bit of bread, we can see, touch, smell, and even taste the kingdom of God. In 2 weeks, we'll look more at this. I'm going to move what's supposed to be, you know, the next section of this chapter in John out 2 weeks, because in 2 weeks it'll be communion, and it'll be really excellent to think about Jesus as the bread of heaven on a communion Sunday. So we'll do that in 2 weeks. Because when we share the bread in communion, we are reminded of God sending Jesus to walk among us as the bread of heaven. And that's why so many churches celebrate the Lord's Supper every week, and why churches as a whole are moving towards sharing the meal more frequently rather than less frequently. Jesus Christ, the bread of life, is indeed a gift, a care package from heaven, sent to remind us of his continuing and his very real presence among us. Amen.